Let's turn then to that reading from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12. In the blue Bibles in the room, it's on page 698, or you could stare at the cards. Probably better to have the Bible in front of you, or the Bible you came with, open to Isaiah chapter 12. I wonder if you know what the Christmas number one in the charts was this year. It was the title, the song, Sausage Rolls for Everyone. I kid you not, that was the title. I felt old hearing that Christmas number one. I don't know why. Probably because it didn't sound like a song to me, but then that shows my age. The group that performed it were Lad Baby. In fact, that was Lad Baby's fourth consecutive Christmas number one, which is pretty impressive. Back in the year 2000, sorry, it's 2022 now, isn't it? Back in the year 2000, the Christmas number one was Bob the Builder with Can We Fix It? The answer being, yes we can. For a number of years, the ITV Saturday evening show, The X Factor, dominated the Christmas number ones. Do you remember the X Factor? It's recently gone off the air, but in the early noughties, kind of 2005, 6, and then on, 4, 5, 6, it's really, really popular. And the person who won the X Factor would normally have the Christmas number one. In 2008, that was the case with Alexandra Burke. That year, she won, and she went to the Christmas number one with the cover of a brilliant song by Leonard Cohen, entitled Hallelujah. It's a really, really well-known song. The lyrics of the song are a poignant description of life and the situations that we come across in life, how you deal with them, how you respond to them. And for all kinds of reasons, I don't think Leonard, he's not a Christian. Cohen's not a Christian. He's not sure, but he drew on a number of biblical narratives. So, for example, the song begins like this. I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this. The fourth or fifth, the minor fall and the major fifth. The baffled king composing Hallelujah. And that refrain, Hallelujah, literally praise the Lord, praise Jehovah, it runs throughout the song. What I find even more moving about the song and its lyrics is that Cohen says he doesn't really believe in a God, in any meaningful way, not sure whether God exists. Later in the song, he has the phrase, well, maybe there's a God above. Is there God? Is there not God? And in fact, commentating on the lyrics, he said, look, I don't affirm a particular faith. I don't follow a particular religion. I'm just wanting to meet life and all its different situations with enthusiasm and describe the emotion of just trying to live in this world. Well, listen, this morning, we're going to look at a Christmas number one. And it's Isaiah's Christmas number one. It's an amazing song of praise, and it too has Hallelujah running through the song. You can see it in the opening words, can't you? I will praise you, Lord. Verse 4, a praise to the Lord. There is a God above. For sure, that is one of the ways you could summarize the 66 chapters of Isaiah. There is a sovereign God above. Look at how our chapter ends. Great is the Holy One of Israel among you. That's a well-known phrase throughout the book. Isaiah wants us to know God is above, God is in control, He is at work, and He's worked to save us, to turn a humanity that have wandered away from God in the songs of Cohen, don't know this God, don't want to worship Him. He's worked to draw us back to Himself, back into His family. We're going to see this song just briefly together in two parts. And really on the card, you can see that the two parts. Did you see the refrain, in that day you will say, and then some words, and then again, in that day you will say, you can see that. The first part is, is proclaiming the salvation of God. So the first part, we're called to praise the God of our salvation. First section, praise the God of our salvation. And then the second one, proclaim the God of our salvation. It wasn't hard for me to come up with that. You can see the words there. I will praise you, Lord. See the opening verse? And then in the second half, you see, proclaim his name. You see it again? Proclaim that his name is exalted. This morning, as we look across 2022, let's hear these words of Isaiah to praise God. He saved us. And proclaim God. He has saved us. The phrase, in the day, you will say, has been pretty popular for Isaiah in the opening 11 chapters. In the first 11 chapters of Isaiah, friends, Isaiah has been describing Judah and Israel. They were once one nation. Now they've split into the northern and southern kingdom. He's been describing how they've turned away from the God who's revealed himself to them, gone after other things, and because of this, they're going to know God's punishment, know God's judgment. They're going to be thrown out of the land of Israel, of Judah, taken into exile. And before, by the way, we start looking and thinking about Israel and Judah, and what kind of people were they? They're just a mirror of our hearts. Oh, that's a good way to read the Old Testament, an important way. As you read the life of Israel and Judah, look at your heart. It's like a mirror reflecting our hearts, what we are like, what we would do. And yet, in the first 11 chapters of Isaiah, God has been saying through the prophet, look, in that day, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you, Israel, back to myself. If you have got a Bible, just turn the page over and look at chapter 11, verse 10. So just turn one page back. You see the phrase, in that day. Well, actually, I've just seen this. Look above. The words before. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This will happen. God will rescue a people for himself. Verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day. So Isaiah is saying to the people he's writing to, the people of Israel and Judah, God will save, he will bring you back to this land. But as we read Isaiah in the context of the whole Bible, all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, we know that the day that is ultimately being spoken of is the day of the Lord Jesus. A day is coming when God won't just deal with our physical circumstances and lands and nations, but God will deal with our hearts. A day is coming, God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, when God will change hearts that naturally want nothing to do with God, to go our own way, do our own thing, and instead give us hearts that want us to know God and praise him and rejoice in him. And in this song, right, in this song, Isaiah describes what that will look like for a people whose hearts have been changed, who say, yeah, I realize I'm living as a rebel, I'm doing wrong things, I'm the Bible word is sin, and I need forgiveness, and God, I'm trusting you for that, and who receive that, and then with changed lives, proclaim that. So a very long introduction, let's look at this quickly together. Shall we see how Isaiah shows us this? Praise the Lord of our salvation. Have a look at chapter 12, verse 1. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. That's, by the way, is why we were made. We were made to praise, to know, to love the God who is, the God who has made us. And why do we praise him? Now, this is an interesting motto text to have, isn't it? You could see why we might have been tempted to kind of chain, cut the motto text, shorten it, maybe just do the second half, because look at what is said next. I will praise you, Lord, although you were angry with me. Although you were angry with me. You know, the Bible, friends, speaks about the anger of God more than 600 times. You read the Bible through in a year, more than 600 times in those 66 books, you're going to hear about the anger of God. And to our modern sensibilities, very feelings kind of based, and how, what does that make me feel? We don't like that. Someone who is angry and crying, this doesn't appeal to us. Well, why is God angry, you might say? And the answer is because God is holy. He is perfect. He is good. He is just. And he looks on us, who he has made, rebelling against his will, turning away from his laws, doing what we want to do. We confessed that earlier in our service, didn't we? We spoke about the ways that we don't do what is right. And God is rightly angry with that. God rightly looks in judgment on that. We should live lives of praise to our Creator. We don't. Our biggest problem in life, the biggest problem for humanity, is that we live under the right and just judgment, anger of God. And yet, the amazing thing is that we read, although, look at verse 1, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. Well, what a joy that is when we read that. God's righteous anger has turned away. And we know how that has happened because we've just been celebrating at Christmas. Jesus Christ comes to save us. Jesus Christ is the one who comes to turn away God's anger. We rightly deserve to experience God's judgment, the judgment of death, of separation from God. And Jesus, in his death on the cross, takes that judgment, takes that penalty for all who will trust in him. This is what Jesus has done. We have been saved from God's just anger through Jesus Christ. Now, do you see how that happens? It happens through trusting. Look at verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust. So how do we experience this forgiveness from God? How is the anger of God turned away? We trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Another Bible word is faith. It's not as if we don't do. It's not as if we have to try and work our way to God. It's not like we're trying to do lots of religious activities, attend church a certain number of times a year, do a certain number of good things, help our neighbors a certain number of times, give a certain amount of money to the poor. It's not like we do these things. We simply trust. There's the word in verse 2. I will trust in what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, friends, this morning, that word me is really important. Do you see how often it's mentioned, this personal pronoun through the opening verses? Though you are angry with me, you have comforted me. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my strength. He has become my salvation. This experience of trusting in God, forgive us through Jesus, turn his judgment away from us onto the Lord Jesus, this has to be our personal experience. It's not as if we can depend on our parents. Oh, they've trusted. I think I'll be able to sneak in with them. It's not as if we can lean and trust on our husband or our wife. It's not as if we can look to someone else and say, well, I think I had godly grandparents, but my grandparents, I know they were Christians. I think because of my relationship with them, this has to be a personal belief. Not because of our parents, not because of our friends, not because of those we go along to church with. We have to take this for ourselves, to ourselves. I will trust. The Lord is my strength. Which makes me ask, have you done that? As we look at the beginning of this year, as we look out across 22, as we read this and we think about, praise the God of my salvation, as we look at our hearts and our lives, have we personally trusted in Jesus as the one who saves us from our wrongs and brings us to God. Have we done that? Surely God is my salvation, Isaiah says. We're saved from God's just anger. We're saved through faith. And we're saved into a joyful family. Where do I get that from? Look at verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now the you there is plural. So Isaiah is picturing a group of people drawing water from the wells of salvation. Now, dearest friends, what a sweet, as we think about this coming year, our lives as a church, what a sweet picture verse 3 is. Water is such a precious commodity, isn't it? In our society, because of taps and shower heads and whatnot, we often don't think like that. We do it automatically. We turn on a tap, out comes this precious, refreshing, life-sustaining liquid called water. In many parts of the world, it's not so easily accessible. We need water to live. We need water to live. It's a well-used biblical illustration, water. People think that Isaiah, as he uses this in verse 3, is speaking about the Exodus. So God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Exodus, brought them across the Red Sea, and took them to places like Elim, where there was water in abundance. We need water to live. Jesus described himself as the living water. Jesus said, "Drink of me, and you'll be refreshed." There was a woman, a Samaritan woman, by a well, and he talked to her in this way: "I am living water. Drink of me," says Jesus. "Receive my forgiveness, and you will have everlasting life." Now, whilst we said on the one hand, we must believe in Jesus personally, we must appropriate this to ourselves, our own belief, yet we see here that we're part of a family of people. This you, as I said, is plural. Together, we draw water from the wells of salvation. Friends, we need one another as we walk in Christ, as we live for the Lord Jesus. We need to rest with one another. We need one another to encourage us and build us up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come to the wells of salvation in the Word of God, in prayer, as we've sung together, as we hear God's Word preached, and we need to encourage and bring each other to those wells and encourage each other day by day to drink from the wells of salvation. Do not read God's Word. Do not pray. Do not make a regular habit of attending church with God's people, all in the name of Christ, all through trusting in Jesus. Do none of those things. You will be thirsty in 2022. I can absolutely guarantee it. In your soul and in your heart, you will thirst. But in the Lord Jesus, trusting in him and saying, "Oh, I'm going to read his word day by day. I'm going to be a person of prayer. I want to love God's people, meet with them." You will find refreshment. You will find sustaining strength for your soul. This week, as I read and thought about these words, especially in verse 3, I was particularly touched about this idea of us as God's people drawing water from the wells of salvation. Sometimes we might come together as God's people, especially needy, perhaps thirsty, perhaps broken. We find it difficult to draw the bucket up, to even lower the bucket down into the wells of salvation. And we need one another just to take that bucket and place it down and bring it up and give one another water to drink. At the watch night service on Friday evening, one of our church family described exactly that. It was wonderfully encouraging time. We were really grateful to Femi and Sam for leading us in it. And one of the people shared there, one of our church family, and they said, "You know what, this last year at times have been difficult, but I've been encouraged and built up by the faith and belief of other believers, of other followers in the Lord Jesus." Now, do you see what he was describing there? He was describing how at times people have gone down into the well of salvation, drawn up living waters. This is who Jesus is. This is what they've done. And they've given him that drink. They've reminded him of the drink of the satisfying joy you find in Christ. And that has built and strengthened his faith. We are saved from God's just anger. We're saved through faith, and we're saved into God's family. Now, do you see as a result how verses 1 to 3 like describe the gospel? That's a gospel shape, isn't it? Gospel just simply means the proclamation of good news. And in verses 1 to 3, we see that. Oh, we see our problem. Our problem is we live under God's just anger. We see the solution, Jesus. Jesus has died for sin. We put our faith in him. And we see the result. We're welcomed by God into his family. We're adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. Praise God. This is who we are. Praise God. Praise the Lord of our salvation, the first half of chapter 12. And that leads us briefly to the second half. Proclaim the God of our salvation. We are saved to proclaim. Do you see that? I drew your attention to it. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations. You see it again. Proclaim his name is exalted. Let this be known in all the world. End of verse 5. So what does this proclamation look like? Well, firstly, it looks thankful, doesn't it? Do you see that in verse 4? Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known what he has done. There's a thankfulness. There's an awareness that God has blessed us, all the good things that he has given to us in the Lord Jesus. How thankful are we as a people as we look back across 2021, as we look at 2022? Is there a growth in thankfulness for us as a church? As I read these verses this week, I did find my mind drawn to the incident of Jesus healing those 10 lepers in the life and ministry of Jesus. Real situation. The Gospels are utterly historical. Everything they describe happened, witnessed by eyewitnesses. And at one point, Jesus heals 10 people with leprosy. And off they go. And only one person returns to say thank you to Jesus. Oh, we are thankful people. We are saved to praise God, saved to celebrate all that God has done, saved to be thankful, to point people to Jesus. But not just that, we're saved to share. We've emphasized it a number of times, haven't we already? To proclaim his name. To proclaim his name that he is exalted amongst the nations. We're saved to share, to make known among the nations what he has done. Barry Webb, in his excellent commentary on Isaiah, In the Bible Speaks Today commentary, he has this little sentence hidden away, and it says this: thankfulness and praise overflow, as they always must, into evangelism. What a challenging statement that is. And I think Isaiah 12 and the rest of the Bible just verifies that. Thankfulness and praise overflow, as they always must, into evangelism. When we've grasped the saving work of God, what we've been saved from, what we've been saved to, the seriousness of our sin, the glory of the cross of Jesus, the weight of eternity, all praises will come, and we will want to make God known, make the Lord Jesus Christ known in all the earth. Now, listen, for your encouragement, and to exhort you and build you up, as it happens, I know Barry Webb. So that author, that great Old Testament scholar, he was one of my lecturers at Bible College. He was a really lovely, humble, godly, joyful man. And he lived in Australia. I studied at Bible College in Australia. And Barry was a brilliant Old Testament scholar. He was really, really a good Old Testament scholar. He'd written a lot of books. He knew his Old Testament, New Testament really, really well. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Barry practiced what he preached. These aren't just words of somebody who's trying to write some good stuff for a commentary. Barry was an elder in the local church. So he was an elder in his local church in Newtown, very near where the Bible College was. And one of the things Barry loved to do is on a Sunday morning, after every Sunday morning service, Barry loved to walk his way home. And by the way, I'm not saying we should all do this. I'm just saying this is an example of someone praising the Lord and loving him. Barry would walk home, and he made it a practice that he would knock on the doors of different houses. He might pick a street, and he would start after the Sunday morning service knocking on the doors of each home, and just for a chat with somebody about Jesus, about what he believed. And what Barry would do is he would persevere doing that until he had one really good conversation. So it might be that the first few doors there was no one home, or someone said, no, I'm not interested in talking to you today, Barry, and they'd close the door. So Barry would persevere until he at one point, at some point, was able to have a good conversation, a conversation with somebody about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we should all do that. I'm just using Barry as an example of someone, Barry Webb, this Old Testament scholar, of someone whose heart overflowed with praise for Jesus, and as a result, he wanted to proclaim the Jesus that he knew. Evangelism means that. Evangelism just means proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And when we think about it, I mean, I don't know how your hearts are feeling right now as you listen to Barry Webb and his example and think about proclaiming the God of our salvation. I guess in one sense, friends, we could feel guilt, couldn't we? We think about people in our class, in school, like sixth form, workplace, family, and we just start thinking, oh, no, 2022, first Sunday, and we're talking about evangelism, and I'm just feeling guilty and feeling like how can I start a conversation with my neighbor now? We can start feeling guilt, or as we think about evangelism, proclaiming the God of our salvation, we can think about some kind of game changer. We think, okay, 21 has gone and 20 has gone and it's 2022 now, and we think about Passion for Life 22, and we think about evangelism and how as a church we can reach Eastern, reach our family, reach our neighbors. What's the one thing we need to do? What's the one book we need to read? What's the one prayer we need to pray? The course that we need to put on as a church? Well, what is it that we need to do? And Isaiah, here in these words, he seems to call us to something completely different, doesn't he? He says that it's not about guilt. It's just about being God praisers. No, not guilt, not game changer, but God praisers. Not what we do, but who we are. Living lives of praise as God's people. When we realize, friends, when Simon Price realizes what I've been saved from through Jesus, what I've been saved to into God's family, my life, my mouth, my living just overflows with praise. That's what I should pray for myself. That's what I need to kindle in myself, that as I love the Lord Jesus, rest in him, rejoice in him, love his word, filled with his spirit, so I will overflow naturally in praise. How I think and how I speak and how I live. You're going to speak and live in 22 what you are most thrilled about. Your life in 2022, okay, is going to display what you're most focused on, what most thrills you, what most kind of captures your attention. And Isaiah chapter 12 says, make it Jesus. Make the center of your life, the focus of your life, the praise of your life, Jesus. As we think about Easton, as I look out now on those doors, onto the street of Stapleton Road. As I look behind me onto Seymour, think of Villiers or Walton, or the streets of Kensington and Blenheim. As we think about Evergreen School or Bannerman Road School, how do we reach out? It's as we praise the Lord Jesus and are full of love for Him that together as God's people, that will just be captivating and will just spill out. We'll naturally engage. The Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will take us. And we'll live and speak for Jesus Christ. And not just in Easton, but on our streets and in our neighborhood. Love Jesus. Oh Lord, we will love people and want to make Him known. And not just into Easton or into the neighborhoods we live into Bristol, but into all the world. As we close, you do see that for the nations, don't you? Make known among the nations. You see it again. Let this, verse 5, let this be known in all the world. Shout aloud. We want to have, brothers and sisters as a church, a global vision of seeing the nations hear of Christ. What a joy it was last year to start partnering with the Daniels in Southeast Asia and John and Hannah Williams in Central Asia, to think of the Bakulas and their plans of returning. It's why we send each other out to the nations to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. We want to pray this year, just as Femi modeled to us earlier. We want to pray for those who've gone out from us to other parts of the world. We want to have a heart for global mission and see that growing in us as a church family. We're saved not just to celebrate, not just to thank God, but we're saved to share the good news of Jesus. And we're saved to sing. There is an emphasis on singing, isn't there? Verse 5. Sing to the Lord. Verse 6, shout aloud and sing for joy. Oh, I'm sorry, it's there as well, isn't it? In verse 3, it's implicit, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Oh, that's right. You see at the end of verse 2, strength and my defense can also be, do you see the footnote in your Bible? Strength and my song. As we finish, brothers and sisters, we ought to be a people who sing songs of joy, who delight to sing God's praises together, who make a real priority of meeting so that not that we can just fill an hour together or sit quietly as the Bible is preached or hear the word, but we can sing. We can delight to make music, to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. In 1875, just before his death, Philip P. Bliss, he also wrote a song with the word hallelujah running through it. Bliss, by the way, was the person who wrote that song, "And When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way." So many members of his family died in a very close space of time. And Bliss was able to speak about the contentment and trust. Even though he'd lost sons and daughters, he could speak about the faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just a few months before he died, Bliss wrote these words, "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." And then he described the cross, the death of Jesus, for rebels like us like this. He said, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude," like people making fun of Jesus, mocking him, "in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon, my forgiveness with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior." That song grasps the hallelujahs, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. That song reminds us of all that God has done for us in Jesus. And that song stirs up hearts and lives that proclaim it to those around us. As we look forward to 2022, may hallelujah be in our hearts and on our lips as we look at Christ and rejoice in Him. May that vision of Jesus just spill out into how we speak and live and act, spend our time. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's commend Isaiah 12, this motto text, to one another today. Praise the Lord of our salvation. Proclaim the Lord of our salvation.